It is the 9th annual Afternoons with Amos community evaluation of an event that this community created out of the bosom of our community, the Circle City Classic. And we ask you what was good, what was not so good, what can be improved upon. Most of you listening did not attend classic events. When I talk about the classic, I'm talking about the whole thing, the game, parade. If you didn't attend, what would make you attend the classic again? Game, parade, fall fest, the whole ball of wax. 239-1310, 239-1310. Send me an email. Got a bunch of those already at praiseindy.com. Send me a text message at 85620, keyword Amos, 85620, keyword Amos. If you have access to Facebook, you can make your comment on Facebook. Our Facebook handle is Amos Brown, then a dash, then WTLC. Amos Brown, WTLC, at Facebook. I want to talk to as many as possible and want to hear from you. I was thinking how to start because there's a lot, some of what happened this weekend, and there were some good things this weekend. Gospel concert at the Walker did well. Cabaret did real well. Comedy show of the Marat did well. Fall Fest, pretty good. But there's issues with the game. There's issues with the parade. And this is not to slight the volunteers. I want to make this very clear. The volunteers who worked parade and the game, they did a heck of a job. The volunteers aren't the issue here. As we wait for you to line everybody up, let me start with the story. And this, Chris, epitomizes the joys of classic and the challenges of classic. This is from the Royal Gazette of Bermuda, the nation, the island of Bermuda. Story is called Island Drumline to March in Big U.S. Event and Visit Michael Jackson's Home by Olivia Riley. 27 of Bermuda's talented youth will be marching to the beat of their own drums this weekend at a popular United States parade. Sandy Showtime Drumline, an offshoot of Sandy Secondary Middle School, left the island this week to perform at the Circle City Classic Parade in Indianapolis. At the parade on Saturday, the Drumline members will perform in front of nearly 100,000 spectators, along with other drumline, step teams, and dance groups from all over the United States. The Drumline, in its fifth year, is the brainchild of Sandy Secondary Middle School principal, Dr. Timothy Jackson, and is spearheaded by the school's music instructor, Troy Washington. The story goes, it's a long, great story about these kids and what they do. As it went down, the story said, but although 27 students left for Indiana, 8 students in the drumline stayed behind in Bermuda. Mr. Washington, Troy Washington, explained that half the funding for the trip was raised via fundraisers, while the students' families had to undertake the other portion of the costs. For some students in a financial bind, the expenses were too high. So you had 35 kids in the drumline. 8 couldn't go because the cost of getting here is 1,300 miles from Bermuda to Indianapolis. And you can't drive it all in a car because there's a little bit of water in the way. Then I found on another website in Bermuda. This is big news in Bermuda. Bernews.com, BERNEWS.com. It says Bermuda Drumline perform an Indiana parade. Said the Sandy Showtime Drumline is set to make their debut in front of an estimated 100,000-strong crowd at the Circle City Classic Parade in Indianapolis today. And you can watch them live, courtesy of a video stream, Chris, from wishtv.com. These people in Bermuda were so hip, and they wanted to see their kids, that they linked to Wish TV's live stream of the Classic Parade Saturday morning. And when the these kids are eight, they're middle school, so that ranges from 11 to 15. And so when they appeared on the parade in the last half hour of the parade, about 11:50, that's in Bermuda's an hour ahead of Eastern times. That was 12:50. They put an update on their website that said, Sandy Showtime Drumline has just appeared in the live stream, receiving rave reviews from both commentators who call them fantastic and admired their dance moves, saying the Bermuda group was, quote, bringing the Caribbean flavor, end of quote. And, of course, they're British, so they spell flavor with the O-U in it. Many of the groups performing in the parade, this is from BurNews.com, are from colleges, and the commentators kept saying how amazed they were that the Bermuda performers included middle school students. The group also received praise for their sparkling white uniforms, and then they put a screenshot of this group marching down Pennsylvania from Wish TV. And it shows Sandy's bit. So this was a big deal in Bermuda. And then when I watched the tape at home last night of the parade, I'm going, my, what a great group. They had the little British hats in the white and the little plumes on the top. It was fantastic. But what did they think? Or those adults that who were with them, who sacrificed, coming to America, big city, home of the Super Bowl, and they were marching down the street expecting 100,000 people, and they saw stands upon stands that were empty. Our community failed those kids. Let me be blunt. Those young people, their parents, their friends, scrimped and saved. I don't know what a bake sale is in Bermuda, but whatever the Bermuda equivalent is of a bake sale and a car wash and what have you, you know those parents and those kids did that. Scrimping and saving to come here to a big American parade. And we had the lowest attendance at the parade. And I've been to 29 parades. I probably have been to 20 of them. And continuous for the last 15 years. What a disappointment. We failed those kids from Bermuda. We failed them. We failed them. And worse, Chris, remember last week when I got the press release from Expo that was saying groups that were going to be in a parade? Because I said, how come you don't ever? Sandy's wasn't even in there. No indication that there was a group coming here from Bermuda with a great story to tell. That's a great story that the TV stations would have latched on to, that the Indianapolis Star would have latched on to, that the Recorder would have loved to publish, that we could have talked about, that people would have listened and heard and read. I need to go down to the parade. Let's go see these kids from Bermuda that have come all the way here to our parade. We weren't told. You weren't told. And that's just a symptom of what has to be fixed. Those people came 1,300 miles thinking they were coming to a parade of 100,000, and we used to do that. We used to have that. We failed them, and we have got to get it together. So how do we, what was good, what was not so good, what can be improved? Want to talk to as many as possible? Let me start today with Phyllis. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Phyllis, and it is so wonderful to have been a part of the Circle City Classic. Mm-hmm. I was at the kickoff at Eastern Star Church, and there was over 1,300 people there, and I thought that was just wonderful. Mm-hmm. And they also attended the gospel concert at the Walker Theater, which was awesome. You know, God was in the house. And I think, Amos, as long as you continue to put God first, mm-hmm. it's going to be a blessing, a continuation of what God has already done for the Circle City Classic. Now, one thing that we can do for those who are coming from other countries and coming so far is to bring together a group of organized people who will act as ambassadors to those who are visiting the Circle City Classic.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say that I did enjoy the whole entire weekend.
Well,
thank
now,
you.
Well, now, hold on. Granted, you enjoyed it. What would get others to come back? Because, obviously,
probably that they know that they're going to be entertained without worrying about problems that the young people have brought upon themselves and others. And I think if we just let them know that it's going to be a joyous thing, it's going to be a fun thing and a blessing from God, that we could get them to come back.
All right. Good points. Let me go to Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Amos.
How are you?
Okay. I'm still recovering from the chill.
So am I. What's up?
And I was one of the volunteers. Actually, I came up to you to try to get you guys, you know, lined up.
Right.
I'm a little disappointed that there was hardly anyone there. I don't think we had enough volunteers. We all needed to have a copy of the schedule. And we didn't have. I think there were too many people in carts and not actually walking and going to the people to find out who should be in what place.
In terms of the lineup of the parade.
In terms of lineup, exactly. I went to the game because we got free tickets. I had to move three times because my ticket was, well, how do I put this? The ticket seats that I and some other volunteers had were also sold to the South Carolina band.
Wait a minute. You can't have two of the same more than one ticket for a seat.
That's what happened.
Well.
And I'm like, are you serious? So I moved three times, and I finally left at halftime because I was sitting I'd been moved for the third time, and I heard a loud noise that sounded like an explosion, and I jumped up out of the seat, and I didn't know what happened because it was right behind my head. And come to find out, one of the rails off the seat that was two or three rows behind me fell off.
Ooh.
And hit the rail at my seat.
Oh, dear.
And like I said, it sounded like an explosion. And I jumped straight up out of the chair.
I'd have done the same thing.
And and then finally the guy a few rows behind me told me what happened.
Yeah.
So I decided I couldn't even watch the halftime performance anymore. I was shaking. My heart felt like it was about to come out of my chest.
You know, in seeing all there was a change of leadership in the parade, and a number of the leaders that had done the parade for many years left, and a number of the longtime volunteers in the parade left. It was obvious to me that the number of volunteers working the parade was down from previous years.
Right.
And it just seemed to me that the parade volunteers were like a bunch of firefighters trying to put out a fire and didn't have any water.
Exactly.
And y'all were doing, you know, a great job in very difficult circumstances. If the folks at Expo think putting on a parade is easy, it is not.
And I used to be a longtime volunteer up until last year because I didn't come back. They never called us. And I tell you, when they first put it on Channel 8 is when those of us that had been doing this for a long time, we were the ones that actually helped get that parade going and kept it going and try to keep up the breaks.
Right.
You know, when
right.
you stop there to get to have it on TV, and then you have the big, long
right.
breaks, and we were the ones that tried to keep that from happening, and it seemed like nobody ever called us anymore after that second year. I went back last year. I said, you know, I don't understand why nobody ever called us back. I know we're all getting old and stuff, but,
right.
you know, but what I noticed, too, this year, there's no marshaling, and there was usually somebody that walked with the parade to keep the people
right.
out of the street you know, because there was a problem with trying to get the South Carolina band onto the street because everybody else was on the street.
You know, now that you're mentioning it, you're right. There was not a lot of volunteers keeping up. And, you know, I hope the people that were running things for the Classic didn't think that, oh, you don't need hundreds of volunteers to do a parade. Oh, yes, you do.
Yes,
ask the 500 Festival. Ask the Tournament of Roses. Ask Macy's in New York. You want a world-class parade? You got to have world-class volunteers.
That's right.
And we're a city of volunteers. You know, the Classic and Expo never asked this program ask for volunteers. Mm-hmm. Never.
And they need to start today.
You know, yeah, the planning for next year's parade it started when the parade ended at noon, 12:30 on Saturday. Thank you. Brenda, let me go to Georgia, 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I was calling in just to say I am totally appalled at the black journalism in Indiana that focuses on the negatives of Circle City Classic and Summer Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
It is my opinion that this platform continues to highlight the missed opportunities opposed to accentuating the positive things that this organization continues to strive to uplift the black community.
So
this organization
mm-hmm.
to actually give over $200,000 in scholarships for our black kids, this could be the actual melting pot that is nurturing the next black Barack Obama, opposed to the white journalists in Indiana. They constantly accentuate every opportunity to highlight the positive things of 500.
Give me an example.
So
wait, ma'am. So if you are correct, and you are, that $200,000 in scholarships generated from this game, if the attendance if the attendance were doubled to 55,000 and 60,000, wouldn't then we have far much more money to offer in scholarships?
Again.
Could you just answer the simple question?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, then how do we get the attendance of the Classic and the parade back to the levels they were 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
You're absolutely right, Amos.
How do we do that?
But the thing is, how much in scholarship funding were they given at that time? They're giving scholarship funds at unprecedented levels.
I don't think they are. I don't think that is correct. They've always been at unprecedented levels.
Well,
I think you're mistaken on that issue.
Ma'am,
hold the speech a minute. And you've said what was good, so everything with Classic was fine. It needs no improvement.
Every time an organization, 500, Brickyard 400,
mm-hmm.
every organization sit back and do a debriefing on their opportunities and use that as an opportunity.
And that's what we're doing. And that's what we're doing here today, because
but they don't do it on a platform.
I'm a platform that accentuates. Thank you very much for your speech. I appreciate it. And we will move on at 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go to Imhotep. Hi there.
Hi, Brother Amos.
How are you?
That was a very good job there.
Well, first of all, I appreciated the lady, and she is absolutely right. There is about $200,000 in scholarships generated for the Classic.
Right.
And if the attendance were to get back to what it was, 40s, 50s, 60,000,
right,
then the amount for scholarships, just by my simple Bill Clinton arithmetic, would be doubled.
Yeah, because when I moved here in February of 1993, I'd came to Classics before that. When I came back this way from the East Coast, I think my first one was probably in 1989, if I want to be correct. Maybe 90 could have been. We're talking about, it may have been 300,000 people downtown. I remember, and Indianapolis downtown was nothing then like it has supposed to be now. So I remember large numbers. I used to go down to Atlanta's I would call it festival. I won't use the other names. This is a good Christian show.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Campbell shut that down when that was a income driver too for the city of Atlanta. My question to you, I had to you was, can you explain to me? I know we, you know, in street lingo, you know, a sponsor, you know, sugar daddy, sugar mama, your mama, daddy, you know, they pay the way.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to me what profit margin that comes from whatever the sponsors do? Why come there is, if it isn't or not, I don't know, maybe you know more, if it isn't or not a larger profit margin considering what the sponsor's supposed to do? Because I was told by Bill Crawford years ago that they, at Expo time, Coca-Cola, whatever, used to pay for the free concert people. I don't know if that's the case now.
No, it's not.
It's not the case now. Okay. Mm-hmm. But is it an issue of maybe not having enough, I'm just going to call it like it is, elite black sponsors who care to invest in a worthwhile activity and then promoting, and then that will probably get the people up, get the numbers up, because, you know, 200,000 may sound like a lot, but,
right,
you know, we can do a lot better than that. I mean, let's just say Jay-Z's throwing a concert every day at the new Brooklyn Stadium, and they've got 40,000 every day.
Well, and you know, one of the comments that I got on our Facebook page, Amos Brown WTLC, and it had a lot of likes attached to it. Eric wrote that the Classic needs to stick with HBCUs with large alumni bases in the Midwest and those schools that have loyal fans that follow them. And it gives examples, Southern, FAMU, Jackson State, Howard, Hampton, etc. It's fine to add the smaller HBCUs, but one of these popular schools needs to be in the rotation every year. And so part of the problem is we need to reignite or reattract schools that people know, that people will want to come and see the teams and the bands. We've got to resurrect sponsors who are willing to make the investment in Classic. Classic has not had a title sponsor. In other words, a sponsor whose name is attached to the title of the event in 3 years. In dollars from title sponsors like that help to drive the revenue. It helps to drive the ticket sales. When you discount your tickets, when you suddenly make your event, instead of being like Saks Fifth Avenue, you're making it like Walmart, then you're cutting your margins. And so instead of having $400,000 to give in scholarships, you only have $200,000.
Yeah, because Jay-Z's not cutting his ticket prices, and I don't think D.L. Hewley and I know, oh, matter of fact, I want to tell the people, and you may know them, that went to go see the Ain't Misbehaving,
right,
and that was excellent. The IPAC needs support, black folks. So anyway, I'll throw that out.
All right, I appreciate it. Motep, I'm going to need to move on. Let me move on to Lawrence. Hi, Lawrence.
Yes, are you speaking about the attendance at the game or the attendance at the parade?
I'm doing any and everything of what you guys are talking about.
Oh, okay. I have a comment about the parade.
Yeah.
One of the things is, a lot of time when you have parades are children-driven. They're the ones that drive, in retrospect, kind of drive the parents down to the parade.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've noticed about the parade, they don't have that floats like they used to have 10 years ago.
No, they do not.
And, you know, one time, it was 2000, I had to drive from the south side to the east side. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. And they were all coming down Fall Creek at 3 a.m.
Right,
And it was coming, I guess, from the fairgrounds going down to the parade.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so many floats, and I had a girlfriend with me, and we were just watching the parade because, you know, the police had stopped us.
Right.
And it was just marvelous. I said, look at all the marvelous floats.
Mm-hmm.
The only float I seen was Underdog.
Well, Underdog's
upside down.
Underdog's a balloon. I think there were a couple of balloons. There was the float that the princesses with the pageant ride on. There was one other float that had some of the scholarship recipients on it. Those were the only floats in the parade.
Maybe that's why the attendance at the parade is down, because, you know, when you have all those floats, that attracts children, and children bring the adults.
No, you're absolutely right. Would you agree with me, or maybe you'll disagree with me, if we had known that there were some young people coming from a different country as America, from a country like Bermuda or even Ghana, wouldn't that have been nice to know? Maybe then the parents would have said, hey, kid, you need to come see this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if the kids knew it,
yeah.
You know, if they contacted the junior highs or whatever, I think they would have came.
Well, the other thing is, you know, they could get some of these characters that are on, what is it, Nickelodeon or the Disney Channel. You know, to come here and be a grand marshal, one of the something that the kids are interested in.
But Amos, the reason they don't have the folks like they did in the past is that because they broke down, they became in disrepair, and they didn't have the money to fix them. Or
no,
what?
No, it has nothing to do with the construction of the float. I think some of it is a float is anywhere from $4,000 to $10,000. And a company wants to make sure that they're maximizing that investment in the float. You follow me?
Uh-huh.
So, and some people are experimenting with, are there different ways to showcase my company and my message other than a float? I think McDonald's has done a great job. When they came down the street with that group from Chicago, the South Shore drummers with the big sound system, and then folks from McDonald's came behind, that was a great presence for McDonald's. And probably more efficient for them than a float. But you're absolutely right. There has to be things so that young people hear the buzz, they feel it, and they're the ones tugging on you and mama and grandma and grandma. We gotta go to the parade. You're absolutely right. That's a good part of it. 239-1310, 239-1310, Zath News with Amos. It is the 9th annual evaluation of Circle City Classic. What was good? What was not so good? What can be improved upon? And if you didn't attend Classic events, game, parade, other stuff, what do they need to do to get you to go back and attend? 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. 239-1310, 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos. Comment on Facebook, please bring back the schools that the Classic was built on. Another comment, I went to the game as a teen because other teens were going. As an adult and a member of Iota Phi Theta, I found myself preoccupied with other classic events. For years, events overlapped and had to make choices about my participation. I think that the Classic may want to try to appeal to a more diverse crowd. I do think that the Classic has made the game earlier in the day, and I think that's a step in the right direction. Nicole said on Facebook, bring schools that people want to see. No one heard of the two schools. It seems like they don't want to spend the money to bring the top division schools and big name artists. 239-1310, back the phones, and Faith. Hi there. Faith?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I attended the actual parade.
Mm-hmm.
I attended the cabaret. I also attended the game.
Okay.
And I must say that I was truly impressed with the parade. I thought it was great this year. I did not see the spacing that I have seen in years past.
Mm-hmm.
And I was my daughters, they truly was impressed with it, and they enjoyed it.
Okay.
Loved the people that came from Bermuda. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything about this weekend was excellent. And one thing that I know from a great friend that works on a classic outside of Indiana, and they have informed me that attendance is down for most sporting events across the country, including the NFL, the Brickyard, Indianapolis 500, and the attendance for most classic. If this is a national trend, I think that we're not looking at the economic impact that is going on across the nation. How does that impact this actual event? And I just want to say hats off to Circle City Classic volunteers, the leadership at Indiana Black Expo, and thanks for all their hard work, and I will continue to support them.
Let me ask a question. I will agree with you that attendance, I've heard that attendance at other classics across the country is down. Attendance to the NFL is not down. And after yesterday's Colts game, I don't think the Colts are going to have trouble, you know, filling any seat in that stadium after that heroic win yesterday that the team made, not only for themselves, but for Coach Pagano. You're absolutely right. Indianapolis 500, you know, is down. That appeal is down. What could get the attendance? Trying to get it back up to 60,000 is probably impractical. 40,000 is in the ballpark, but there were 35,234 tickets distributed, and the Indianapolis Star estimates that the attendance at the game at its peak was 20,000. If all of that is correct, that means 15,000 people had tickets and didn't feel the event was important enough to go. How do you get at least those 15,000 folks that got a distributed ticket and get them to go?
You know what, Amos? I think that is a great question, because the same people potentially have tickets. How do we get them at parent-teachers conferences? How do we get them involved with their kids in the community at whole? So I think a lot of this we have to look at parental involvement. It is my job as a mother to expose my kids to all types of events. And I am privileged, and I enjoy the different programs that the organization bring. Mm-hmm. And I will continue to actually support them to make sure my family, my immediate family, and ancillary family are exposed to these events. We have to look at the Carnation. I looked at that. It was beautiful mm-hmm. to see all of the brilliant African-American young ladies in the community mm-hmm. sitting there, all the talent, and they're exposing this talent. We have to look beyond some of the things in the opportunity and actually go and bridge with that organization to see how do we continue to accentuate this and make this an ongoing asset to our community.
You're implying that most of the people that attend Classic are families, because you mentioned parents, but there were probably adults that had some of those distributed tickets that didn't have kids, and they made the decision, hey, this ticket isn't hip enough for me to go.
I can't answer that, but only thing I can say is for families, we have a lot of at-risk kids here in our community. How do we get them there? How do we continue to bridge with the community to accentuate these programs that this organization bring, opposed to looking at the barriers?
I understand, but remember, it used to happen that way. This is not like the Classic didn't attract 60,000 young people, adults, and families, and what have you. It did. Somehow the wheels fell off the wagon, and the question is, how do you get the wagon stopped and put the wheels back on and move forward? I appreciate it, Faith. Great comments. Let me go to Bill at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, Amos.
Hi.
I have several comments.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I started to suggest this a couple of years back, maybe last year, and what kept me from coming out with it was there are others, Classics close by, I believe. I'm not sure if they're still going on. Louisville, Cincinnati, for example, and theirs is in September. Are you aware of those either?
I'm aware of a bunch of Classics in terms of the dates, no.
Okay. Well, I usually I transport seniors around quite often and you know, to the parades. And Friday evening, none of them was interested in going to the parade because of the weather,
mm-hmm.
even though, you know, it changed the next day.
Right.
And I do agree with previous callers about the Grambling. Got to get Grambling, Jackson State, Tennessee State back in the loop. But I think if they change the time of year instead of the Classic, I understand football season. And let me go back and also comment on the NFL. The lady talked about the NFL. Amos, I think in some cities the NFL's attendance is down also. That's the reason why, if you remember, you have to have 100% sellout before they would televise the games in certain locales. Well, now they changed that. I think it's, 85%
mm-hmm.
or something. And that has to do with because they're not having 100% sellouts either. But if they would, and I understand football season. It's fall. It's dreary outside, even though we got a dome and people take their blankets. But maybe if they changed the month and made it late August or early September for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I know more seniors would come out to all the events. That's my comment.
All right. Appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's there. Let me go back to the phones. And Anita, hi there.
Hi. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
That's great. A couple comments. One, to the caller who talked about the responsibility of the parents bringing their children out to the games. I mean, if we're really real, the Circle City Classic is a game primarily attended by those people who either went to school, were alumni, or who were great black college football fans. So in the grassroots, if you go in to talk to grassroots people, those people who they're not even coming to the Classic. I've been out in different places, and their whole deal was that, well, that game is for people from out of town, so that's not even a place. Mm. Those people don't even come. This is a lower, upper to middle class attendance. Secondly, Expo did a poor job with marketing the Classic. If we're going to put blame, we want to first start with marketing. I mean, people didn't know the game was going on. In barbershops, you can go, the pulse of the community is in the barber and the beauty shops. And they know when something's going on because people are in there getting their hair prepared for the weekend. And that wasn't happening. Barbershops didn't even know the game was going on. Expo didn't promote it. I didn't hear ads for the game until maybe the week before. I mean, there wasn't any full pay, even their souvenir booklet for the Expo. Their booklet, mm-hmm. The Circle City Classic had a third-page ad in the back of the book. Now, this is your own book that you put out that you don't even promote your own event. Right. So Expo is to blame for marketing. I talked to people who in Chicago, and they didn't know the game was going on. Expo used to promote in these cities, and it was done. So they did a poor job. They need a point. When they point their figures at other people, they point their thumb back at them because their marketing was absolutely poor. Lastly is that the college event is always supported, and there was tons overflowed crowds at, you know, for the college fair. So let's say that parents don't bring their kids out, they do. Those people are always at the college fair. People pick and choose what they want to do. I think the Expo needs to sit down and say, okay, what do we do wrong? We didn't advertise it. Nobody knew it was happening. And if nobody knows it's happening, they're not coming. Those 15,000 people who had tickets and didn't go to the game probably just didn't think it was important enough to come to. Or maybe they didn't have a ticket. Or maybe they got a ticket when they bought a cabaret ticket because they gave it to them and they didn't want to go to the game.
You know, I heard that right at the, 2 or 3 days before the cabaret, that if you attended the cabaret, you got a ticket to the game.
Right. And those people wanted to go to the concert. They didn't want to go to the game. And I'm sure if they gave them a ticket, it was a $10 ticket. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to go to the ticket. That's not what we do. Or maybe they're at the suite level in the suites, because that's what we do. With a $10 ticket, if I'm going to the game, I'm not going to sit down. And Amos, yeah. We don't sit down at the game. What we do is we go and socialize. So we're always in the concourse seeing our friends, and we're greeting our friends.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have enough people who are going to sit down for more than 20,000 people. You got to have 40,000 people for it to look like it's a crowd, because 15 to 20,000 people are going to be walking around socializing, because we're social people.
You know, but you said something, you know, earlier, that when the Classic began in 1984, in the 80s and the 90s, there was a deliberate effort, and I can speak to that because I was part of that deliberate effort not to make the event feel elitist, so that, you know, regular folk could feel that they were welcome. So if you weren't an alumnus of Grambling or Tennessee State or whatever, that you were made to feel welcome. And part of the whole hype was to explain who the schools were. Part of the hype was to make those teams sound larger than life. I can remember in those early days after the Classic started and we got us a real football team, an NFL team.
Right.
And if you remember, the Colts were lousy then.
That's right.
And I always had the ads on TLC say, come to the Circle City Classic. It's Grambling. It's Tennessee State. There will be more excitement than a Colts game.
Because it was. But
it was.
I'm sorry. North Carolina Central and South Carolina State are admirable schools, but John Q. Public does not know them. They know Southern. They know Grambling. They know Tennessee State. They know FAMU. So if you're not bringing those schools in, there's no interest.
All right. Good points, my sister. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. I stopped using that line after I got some feedback that several members of the then Indianapolis Colts were threatening do to me what they do to opposing quarterbacks. Yeah, they were going. Yeah, so I had to kill that line. It worked for a while. Hey, I'm trying to sell tickets to the Classic. If Doggett, but it helped them start to win. It's still, yeah, I helped, you know, get them oriented. 239-1310, 239-1310, that's his name. Let me see. Back to the phones, and Shay, hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I totally agree with the previous callers in regards to the advertising and the promotion, because I really didn't hear a lot of Classic. I usually attend the events. I did not attend the events this year. However, I think that they should, to make it more family-oriented, they should really get the schools involved, because I think if the schools are involved, the parents will come down and support their children in all the events. And then to advertise it, but make it a more of like a variety and talk about what they actually have to offer, because the only thing you hear about is like the late night shows and then the college fair, but have some more things going on as well. And then too, also with Expo, they need to also, you know, talk about classic, push it then too, so you can get, you know, ready and prepared. And if money is an issue, then you can get your finances together so you can attend the events. So, that's what I think. I just think that they need to push more, advertise more, bring more familiar right. schools, and make it more like a community event so we can come out and support the children, even the kids from Bermuda. I mean, they should have had more of a crowd down there. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go down there this year, but I'm just saying, like, that would have been a push if they would have had the schools involved, maybe to get their bands or to also, you know, here are the honor roll students from, you know, from these schools or the top grade students or something like that. Because you're like, okay, that's my baby out there who had honor roll. And then the kids will say, you know, well, come out and see me, or maybe have like a Facebook contest or, you know, something to keep the kids active so they can promote it themselves too, word by mouth or text messaging or Facebooking or tweeting. Trying to do those other avenues too.
Shay, you made some great points. Hold on a second. I want to share two things that I've gotten in an email at praiseindy.com. One is from Janelle. She says her name is Janelle Jones. I am one of the 91 recipients of the 2012 Circle City Classic Scholarship. With this scholarship money, I was able to pay for my costly books at Indiana University. I look forward to upholding the scholarly and community-based values instilled in me while in college. And then I got another email. Dawn Easton writes, when I discovered I was an IBE Circle City Classic Scholarship / Cummins recipient, I was ecstatic. The money was a huge help for my family and me. It helped decrease the amount of debt that I would be in after college from school loans. Those are two great letters, Shay, but why am I hearing that on October the 8th after the game when those testimonials...
Right.
should have been read before the game. Those two young folks should have been on our program. They should have been focused in the hype the Classic was doing.
Right.
When
right.
I watched the replay of the parade on Channel 8, they did a great job doing the parade. They had some of these young people talking. That's nice in the parade. The technical term is that they're transitional bumps to go from the program to the commercial and from the commercial back to the program. That should have been beforehand.
Right.
And that's what we used to do back in the day, was to set that, to set the stage for what Classic was all about, other than go party and go hear Miguel.
Yeah.
But
I totally agree, because that could have been something that they could have had another event or something prior to the parade to actually platform those students and have them either have, you know, like a souvenir booklet that had their personal stories in there or have some type of celebration to celebrate them besides the parade. The parade could have been like the finale of actually seeing them on the floats or on the cars. I mean, they had to have some type of build-up. I mean, we have students who have came from different various backgrounds. They could have brought them in there who have excelled in the studies or, you know, anything. They could have brought these other children in there, these college grad students, these high school grad students. I mean, they could have brought them in. They could have set another event up that could have kind of prepped you for the parade, that prepped you for the football game, and kind of just made it more community-based where the family and the community is really involved and invited. I mean, like, they could have just really, I think they really could have did much more than just saying, here, you know, here's a concert for you. Oh, yeah, here's a football game, too. Oh, yeah, and here's another concert.
All right. All right. Good points, my sister. I need to move on. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Tomorrow and Wednesday, we're going to, speaking of education, we will focus on education. Candidates for school board will be here tomorrow in our first hour. The candidates for Washington Township School Board. In our second hour tomorrow, the candidates for Lawrence Township School Board. And then on Wednesday, a whole warren of candidates from Warren Township running for the Warren Township School Board. And then on Friday in our second hour, Mike Pence live in studio. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. All right, welcome back. It's Afternoons with Amos. Getting your evaluations of the Circle City Classic. What was good? What was not so good? What can be improved upon? If you didn't attend Classic events, what would make you attend again? You notice I've heard a bunch of good news. Nobody's called with any pointing out any problems with IMPD or any problems with parking or somebody got their car towed away. A crime-free weekend, which has been the norm at Classic, not the abnormal. Back to the phones in Tuesday. Hi there.
Well, good afternoon, Amos. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Amen. I am the Youth and Family Programs Director here at Indiana Black Expo, and I just wanted to kind of share some pieces that have been discussed on your program today. Doubling the occupancy would not necessarily double our scholarship amounts. When we had double the occupancy, 40 and 50,000, we actually gave less money. We gave less than to $196,000, $200,000. We gave within $100,000 or less in those 10 years ago that you were talking about. So the actual giving of scholarships, which is really what this is all about, it's all about our youth. 91 young people receive scholarships, and I certainly appreciate Beth earlier sharing her her interest and focus on focusing on the right thing. And yes, maybe people were not aware of the two black colleges or as informed of the two black colleges that performed, but we have 114 black colleges, and to only focus on the top 10 would do a disservice to our black historical colleges and universities, and I'm a recipient of one of those, being an alumni of Wilberforce University. So if we only focused on the FAMUs and the Gramblins, they would never know about these other colleges. So we certainly want to give opportunity and exposure to all of our black colleges and universities that have football teams to be a part of this event. And so I certainly wanted to give the facts and appreciate this opportunity for the community to call in and express their concerns and give us ideas on what it is we could be doing to better this event and grow this event and reach more into our community.
So let me make sure I understand you. If the event is grown moving forward, then we would have much more money available for scholarships?
I certainly could see that going forward, but in response to what was said, it was said that in the past we gave as much as what we did this year with double the occupancy, and that is not a true statement. And so I just wanted to make sure that our community was aware of the facts that we gave double the amount with half the people. So I just wanted us to be clear of the facts that even when we had 40,000 people, 50,000 people, we never historically, this was a historical year of giving scholarships. So we wanted to certainly give that credit to where credit is due to the volunteers that have been a part of Indiana Black Expo for years, the new ones that have come and will come. We certainly appreciate all that they do, the staff with our capacity to do such great and major events, and to the best of our ability with excellence. We want to just give that credit. And then, again, to appreciate the dialogue that we're having here on 1310.
So let me ask this question, Tuesday. Given that this was, in your words, a record level of scholarship giving, did I hear that correctly?
You certainly did.
Okay. Now, given that, based upon the figures that Expo released on Saturday evening on the attendance, this is the second lowest Classic attendance ever.
Okay.
So then is Expo satisfied with that? And if not, how then does this event grow?
Okay, great question. No, we're not satisfied, Amos. You know that would be ludicrous. We're not satisfied with attendance being what it was, and we certainly want to grow it. And we have our recap meeting with our committee chairpersons in a week, and we have posted on Facebook and putting that out here, even on your great broadcast here, to say, let us know, email us, get on Facebook, and give your suggestions on what it is that you would like to see to help make this event grow. And I'm not sure if it's just about filling the stadium, or what do we really want our focus to be, and or should it be the people having fun and being down there and it being safe and all of the above, but ultimately the young people getting the scholarships.
And I'm also curious why I'm hearing about scholarships and I'm meeting through email these wonderful scholarship recipients.
Isn't that awesome? On
October the 8th and not on September the 8th.
Now, you know, Amos, this is my thought. Better late than never, better now than never. And so whether they're emailing you now, maybe they're hearing the broadcast and they want to be a positive spin on what's going on. We can't speak
wouldn't it
to
have,
that.
Wouldn't it have been better to have that positive spin before the game, which would have encouraged people to attend the game, or those 15,000 people that got some of those distributed tickets mm-hmm. would have felt, oh, this is not a value ticket. I'm going to leave it in a drawer. Instead, they would have showed up at Lucas Oil Stadium, got the ticket scanned, and they still could have left the ticket in the drawer, but they would have been in the house.
Well, you know, I know you. There was a caller. You said that they made an assumption about families, that families weren't coming. Well, that's an assumption as well, that they didn't think it was important enough to come. We don't know why they didn't use their tickets. I don't even want to try to put myself in their shoes. Daughter could have been sick. Kids could have had the flu. I don't know what it was, why they didn't use their ticket. But why the young people decided to call, I think it's important that people hear that these scholarships, these internships are being made available to our children, and that they have paid internships with a Fortune 100, I believe Cummins is, corporation paid, and they received scholarships. And so I think whether they're emailing you now or calling you now or they did it 2 weeks ago or a month ago, I think what's important is that our community is hearing about it and we can be positive. I think it's a great idea. Someone suggested that we do put it in front of the parade. And so when we have our recap, immediately when I heard someone said that, I wrote it down. I think that's a great idea.
One final thing. Why wasn't, you know, there was this too much dance with the unit in front of us in the parade. Great unit from here. Fantastic young people. We didn't know about that until we hit the parade route. This group that I opened the program with, talking about this group from Bermuda,
mm-hmm.
Where it looks like the entire nation of Bermuda is proud that the group was in the parade, and yet the people here in Indianapolis did not know this. How, if the whole idea is to recreate the tens of thousands of people that watched the parade and packing the stadium for the game, how can we not let the community know of these things? That's a great positive story that somebody should have told somebody about. I shouldn't have to read it 20 minutes before I go on the air from the websites and the media of Bermuda.
You know, out of 80 performances, it's a performance parade, and mm-hmm. after out of 80 performances that we did not focus on that, I think, can we focus on the 29,
no,
on the 79?
No.
But
I do
hear what you're saying, that we should have known.
All you had to do was print out, here's everyone in the parade. I would have been able to see so-and-so from Bermuda. I would have known that was not Bermuda, Indiana. I could have done the research.
Yeah, I do hear what you're saying. I do. I do appreciate what you're saying. And certainly those are things we need to make sure we're getting those type of announcements to the media. So
right.
I have noted that.
All right. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. We'll take a break. Those of you that are at the phone bank that I understand is going on right now, that's what I hear. There's a phone bank of people trying to break through the lines. We'll come back with more of your feedback from regular people as well as from the phone bank, as well as tell maybe the people in the phone bank some things you don't know. It's the annual evaluation show. What was good? What was not so good? What could be improved upon? And if you didn't go to the Classic, what would make you attend again? It's After News with Amos after these.